This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 179 for Wednesday, February 3rd, 2016. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we're into. We cover everything from movies and television to books, apps, and websites. Joining me tonight, Mr. Hammond Chamberlain. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Coming off a hot new episode of Beyond the Playlist, I hear.
Yeah, it was a kind of a surprise episode that wasn't scheduled, and then when it came out, I ended up talking to two pretty cool people for the better part of an hour and a half.
Nice. I think people should go to jhemmonc.com and check that out.
Yeah, very cool.
And you're not alone. We have Sydney Chamberlain here. Hello, Sydney.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
No problem. I'm excited because I don't know if I was able to tell you, but we had quite a lot of feedback on the last time that you were on the show. Everybody really liked the angle on Supergirl that you brought.
I'm glad everybody liked it.
Yeah, I've had a number of people. Phil Rude, who's in the chat room right now, actually is a fan, and I feel like Growly Bear and Sam Bonin also chimed in and said that they really enjoyed the show too. So lots of Sid fans in the audience tonight. And speaking of Sam, I want to get some accolades out of the way. Our Slack channel, which is something that you can get into on the Patreon for the Citadel Cafe, has been awesome. I really want to thank Sam and everybody that's been involved. It's been a really cool conversation. I love that it's ongoing, and I love that you don't have to be there for every minute of it. You can kind of pop in when you want to take a coffee break, check out some cool stuff that's going on, and pop out. So if you are listening to this and you're like, what the heck is Joel talking about? Go to the Citadel Cafe Patreon page, and that is patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. Imagine that. And check it out. There's a post there about Slack. To join the Slack, you just have to become a patron. Completely up to you. And from there, you can join the really cool conversation, including even where I managed to steal my pick for tonight. So that's kind of a teaser for the end of the show. That's what's going on with me. I'm busy with the Slack. I'm busy with some client work. That's why I was late starting the show tonight. So I'm spread too thin. It's like
I got accused of drinking moonshine by one particular Phil Rude too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on the Slack. You missed all. Oh, you got it because I made that joke about the only moonshine I deal in is the at night.
Right. That's right. Yeah. See, yeah. There's so much cool stuff happening in the Slack that I can't keep track of the Slack.
Yeah, that's it.
It's a bunch of Slackers. I'm going to stop making that joke. I've been doing that for about a week now. Anyway, I am just spinning too many plates at once. That is my issue tonight. So if I seem off kilter, that is why. I'm going to try to take a deep breath, and we're going to continue on. What's new with you, man? Like, what's the new hotness, as it were?
Well, you know, we mentioned this episode of Beyond the Playlist, which is I have two guests. It's Emir Noon and Craig Stewart Garfinkel. They worked for Blizzard in the music department, and they were involved with the composition of the Warlord of the Draenor music. And then she's been conducting for Blizzard since about StarCraft II.
Wow!
And on my show, she said she's a big she is a Diablo fan. That's where her heart lies. So it's a really fun interview. I really want everyone to go listen to it. But the big news that I have is that in the very near future, there's going to be an announcement made about a project that I'll be doing with one Mr. Brian Ibbett.
Oh, that's exciting.
And it's been in the works now since, gee whiz, I'd say before Thanksgiving. But with our schedules and with timing and everything like that, it's just taken some time, but it's starting to get some momentum. We're starting to get some things done, and I'm really excited about it.
That's great, and I know a little about this because you've spoken to me about a few things in the background, but I didn't know you were so close to making the announcement. So that's great. I'm glad that things are moving forward with that. It's as someone who has a number of projects on the go, some of which have literally been in the works for like 18 months. It's so cool when the stars align and people can just go out and do stuff. I think I might be my own worst enemy. I'm a bit of a perfectionist and I find that that kind of gets in my own way. With podcasts, so I mean, I guess can I tease it? It is a podcast related project, I'm guessing.
Yes. Yes. And I think we could go as far as, because people know me and people know Brian, it's fair to say it's a good assumption that it's probably music related in some way.
You don't say. So yeah. Okay. So that gets people a pretty good picture of what to expect. And if you think 179 episodes is a lot, go take a look at the track record behind Mr. Ibbett.
Yes.
And his show alone, forget the morning stream, but on his show alone, he's up into the thousands of shows.
And TMS is in the thousands now, isn't it?
Yes. Although, I don't know.
There's a difference between a daily show and, I mean...
Yeah, the numbers are different. When you're looking at a daily show, like 1,000 shows, that's still a big deal, but like I feel like the 1,000 thing happens a lot faster. But I mean, I look at something like The Instance, which is just a weekly show, and that's still under 500.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. Like that, when that hits the big 500, like that's a huge milestone. Like that's because that's happening this year. This is their 10th year, I think.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
And it's funny because at the end of February, I'll be hitting episode 150 of Beyond the Playlist.
Wow. That's awesome. You're catching up to me.
Yeah, I am that far.
You're that far? Jeez.
Yeah.
Far.
So just a curiosity, Sydney, where are you with your podcast Between Us?
I don't know exactly how many shows I have because I'm not really like keeping track.
12 or 13.
12 or 13, my dad's saying.
I love how me and Hammett are like, you know, 150 and 179. And you're just like, I don't care. I just do my show. I just do a good job and people listen.
She's the one on a network. Remember that.
Yeah, she doesn't need to measure her worth with the number of shows that she's completed. That's great. So is Beyond the List going well, Sydney?
Beyond the Between Us?
Sorry, that I did. What did I say?
You mashed them together.
Beyond Between Us, is that what I did? Wow, that's awful. Between Us. That's the one I want to talk about.
Well, my last episode, I had my friend Michaela on. And my dad told me that he was going to name it I Hate Puberty.
Wow.
It came close to being that title.
Holy smoke. That's pushing some buttons there. So so what did you guys talk about on your latest episode, Sydney?
I answered questions from like some close family friends and then some of the people who've been sending me in emails.
Wow. That's great. Do you get a lot of email at the show?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I'll let you in on a little secret.
She's gotten more interaction from her audience in 13 episodes than I have in 150.
I was just about to say, you know how much email the Sizzle Cafe gets? None.
Exclamation point.
Yeah, drive that home. I'm the self-deprecation is just dripping in here, and Sydney's just twisting the knife like bleed, Duggan, bleed. Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm happy to hear that it's going so well. Do you have are you like your dad? Are you planning like into like 2020 with your episode lists? And are you planning that far ahead?
No.
No. So when's your next show? Like, do you have something coming up?
I'm doing one next Sunday, and really what I do is I just, that day when I'm doing a show, I come up with something to talk about and do it.
That's great. So the opposite of my perfectionist problem, you're basically just shooting from the hip.
Yep.
Nice.
And just since you brought it up, I am recorded through the end of February. No, I'm sorry, the end of March.
I was about to say February. What are you, slacking? Jeez. Yeah,
through the end of February March.
End of March. You just did that February. Twice in a row. I don't feel so wrong. Yeah. I it's the extra R in February. No one likes it. It confuses all of us.
Yep.
And I also hear, because I did listen to some of Between Us, that you're also playing Hearthstone.
Yeah.
How's that going?
It's pretty good. My favorite person, my favorite character to play with is probably Hunter, because he's the easiest.
Right. Yeah, because you've always got that, is it one damage to the face?
Two.
Is it two damage to the face? Yeah, see, I haven't played Hearthstone in a while. I do play, though, so I can I can usually keep up on the conversation. So Hunter, I'm a Warrior player. That's my go-to.
Warriors are so hard.
It is, and I'm not very good. So Warrior just basically means it takes me a long time to lose.
Then my second best is Mage and then Paladin. I have a really good Paladin deck, and I got my first card back at the end of the last month. And my Paladin deck is for the Tavern Brawl, and it's pretty good.
Nice. So what kind of cards are you running in your Paladin deck? Like, do you have any favorites?
I think my favorite is the weapon that its attack is number 4, and then
it heals for 2.
It heals for 2, yeah.
Oh yes, I don't remember what it's called. I'm sure the nerds in the chat room will fill us in, but I know I can picture it in my head. I know it's like a yellow glowy weapon.
Yes, I
know that. I've played some Paladin because they're different than Warriors, but they have that same sort of like staying power. I like being able to heal myself.
Priests are horrible.
Agreed. Because what happens with a priest is I see my what kind of Warrior deck would I call mine? I have, it's basically a lot of removal, control Warrior.
Yeah, that's.
And then I've got a lot of, and then I've got some big guns. And what I don't like about priests is that I put my big gun on the table, and then he steals it. And then my glorious plan backfires, and I go from having like 30 armor to having like, you know, 15 health in like 3 moves.
My problem with priests is when I play against them, I always get trashed. I get treated like just a bad child.
Right.
But when I decide to play priest, I get schooled like I have no idea what I'm doing. It's like they're out to get me.
Yeah.
The only time I beat a priest was in the Tavern Brawl last week.
Nice. So what, remind me what the Tavern Brawl is, Sydney. I haven't played in a while.
The Tavern Brawl is open every Wednesday?
Yeah, it's their very casual play style for, so what they'll do is every week they'll open up a new kind of game rules. So last week was everything cost 1.
1 and has 1 attack and 1 health unless it's a spell.
Yeah, you had to buff everything up and then go for the attacks. So it was very kind of strategic with how you used it. So this week's is everyone gets wacky weapons. So it's fun.
I think I might not play this week.
Okay, that's fine. You take your Tavern Brawl off.
I don't think I've tried that. I've tried Arena. Because that's how I was.
Suck at Arena.
I'm not great at it, but I can, with the amount of cards. See, I don't have a lot of cards, so at least in Arena, I get to play with cards that I don't have.
Yeah.
And I understand the game enough that I can kind of learn on the fly with that kind of stuff. But it's I just find that I can earn more cards if I play Arena. I just don't play very often. Go ahead, Sydney.
One time I was playing against my dad. And I hate this card. I was playing against him and I got him down to like 4 health. And then he played this card and he went back up to 30. It was awful.
Irene Odor. The League of Explorers have a card called Reno Jackson. And he restores, if you only have 1 of each type of card in your hand or in your deck, when you play him, he puts you right back to 30 health, no matter what you're at.
Wow.
So I Reno Jackson her and she quit.
Yeah. No.
So here's a question.
And it's like $20 to get that card, so I don't want to do that now.
Oh yeah. You would think
I'll
that
do it when I get back from Hawaii if I have $20.
Yeah. I think maybe if when your dad and you are sparring in Hearthstone, you think that he would be a little nicer.
He actually let me beat him once. He let me, though.
So I remember.
And it was kind of obvious because he played these like really weak cards, except for 1 that I destroyed real fast.
So the trick now is you know, when you can beat him where either you can't tell that he threw it, or you actually beat him and then he tells you that he threw it. I remember that, one of the first times I played in a tournament, not a tournament, but like an open sort of situation. What do they call it? A fireside gathering.
Mm-hmm.
It was at Nerdtacular, and I was playing and I was trying and I lost, and I had somebody come up to me, and it was some guy came up, and I was like, oh, cool. Like I think this is the guy that I just played. So he came over and he wanted to thank me for playing and having the patience to play his daughter. Who is probably around 10. And she squared up, beat me. I can't remember what I was playing. I don't think it was Warrior. I think I was playing a mage. But yeah, I was not throwing it, because I didn't know who I was playing. For all I knew, I was playing one of the guys up on the panel. Like, you know, just, you know, I could be playing a Blizzard dev that's at Nerdtacular. So yeah, that gives you an idea about my level of play in Hearthstone. I still like it. I just don't have a lot of time. You've got, between us on the go, you've got some Hearthstone happening. When are you guys going to Hawaii?
March.
Yeah, end of March.
Wow. Jeez. And that's the second time. It's an annual trip now?
It is now, yeah. This is our second annual Easter trip to Hawaii.
When I told my teacher I was going, she's like, I don't want to talk to you. And then when I told her I was only going to miss a half a day of school. And then I told her, oh, I'm not going to miss that half a day of school anymore. I'm going to miss 2 days after break. And she's like, I don't want to talk to you. And then I turned in this boring book, and my mom told me to say, life's too short to read boring books. But I forgot it, and she said, put it on my desk and go sit down. I don't want to talk to you.
Maybe, you know what you should do next time you have a chance to talk to your teacher? You should ask her if there's any books that are interesting that you could read while you're on the beach in Hawaii.
I read a book called The Mystery in Hawaii.
Okay.
Was it mysterious?
Come on, Dad, really?
What was it about? Well, I mean, I'm guessing it was a mystery, but like, what were there superpowers? Were there like gumshoe detectives, or was it like a?
It was just like people exploring Hawaii and going to these volcanoes and stuff, and finding clues and figuring out stuff.
Right on.
Like Scooby Doo on a beach.
Like Scooby. Oh, okay. Scooby Doo on a beach.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's a lot of jokes about Scooby-Doo that I can't make because Sydney's here.
look at it. He's being a better dad right now than I am.
Nice. Not exactly sure how you should take that. I'm a gentleman and a scholar. That's how you should take that. That's exactly how that should go. I guess we should move on to what we've been watching. Sydney, let's start with you, because it's been a long time since you've been on the show. And hey, you know, ladies first. So what are your favorite things that you've been watching on TV right now?
I've been watching Harry Potter on my iPad, and then watching Supergirl with my dad.
Oh, cool. That's cool that you guys sit down and watch it together.
Yeah, but he doesn't like it. that's the only difference.
Okay. So you're just on the edge of your chair.
I'll explain myself in a little bit.
So I guess we'll get the positive in here, yes, first, because I tend on this show, and I don't know why, to, even though The Flash and Supergirl and Agent Carter are like, they're some of my favorite shows and they're good, I find something to complain about, and I feel like maybe it's because the negative things are more interesting to talk about, because everything else is just, the same things are good across all those shows. Like the writing is good, the acting is good, that sort of thing. So I'm not sure why I never start with all the cool things. So like, Sydney, what are your favorite things about Supergirl?
I don't know. I just really like the show.
But why?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is there any, okay, so who's your, I mean, just, we'll take out the obvious. So obviously Supergirl is awesome. So who's your favorite character besides Supergirl?
Ooh, me? I don't know. Hang on one second. What?
Manhunter?
Yep, Manhunter.
Manhunter. Okay, cool. So I remember we were talking about Hank Henshaw the last time that you were on the show, and both of us, both you and I, thought he was going to be a bad guy because he had the red glowing eye thing.
I did. And then after that, you said he was going to be the Martian Man.
He can't see you pointing at me.
He knows who I'm talking about.
Actually, I thought it might have been, I thought you were talking about me, but I can see now that you were pointing at your dad. That's a bad joke. I'm sorry. I was thinking about you actually, Sydney, when, I think it was the next episode or 2 weeks later after you were on the show, and it wasn't, they didn't reveal that Henshaw was Martian Manhunter, but they did that red eye glowy thing, and something that he had done in the show, it just wasn't bad enough. Like, he didn't feel evil. He felt overbearing. You know, he felt
the
like
bomb
a big
thing.
Maybe it was the bomb thing. I think you're right. And
was it the bomb, or was it the handcuffs that was a couple weeks later?
I think it was the handcuffs. I think it was the handcuffs that he did. He
yeah, I think you're right. I think it might have been the handcuffs. Either
and
way.
No, because she got out of those. And no, it wasn't. No. Supergirl's sister put them on him and made him lock himself to the bars.
That's right.
Right. That's right. I remember that. Either way, I'm really excited about Martian Manhunter. Now, do you like the new development for Henshaw?
Yeah.
So are you familiar with Martian Manhunter outside of the show, or is this like a new idea? Okay, cool.
Nope. My favorite part that he's done is when Kara was herself and went to Cat Grant, and then he was like
shape-shifting
into Supergirl and put on the Supergirl outfit and stuff, because Cat Grant thought she was Supergirl, and she said if she doesn't admit it that she's fired, and she didn't want to be fired, even though she's an assistant that has a really awful job, but she likes it. So he came in and she came in and they were talking. And they're like, fine, you can keep your job.
I thought that was a neat use of the shape-shifting. And there was even a joke in it this week. There's a little conversation that happened very, very quickly in Supergirl. And Hank Henshaw says something along the lines of, I was surprised how comfortable the skirt was. But no, I'm not. No, this isn't me impersonating you again. Like, it wasn't me. And and if you didn't see like three episodes ago, it would have made no sense, right? Really, just subtle little things like that I find are really neat. I really enjoyed this. It wasn't the latest episode, but it's probably the latest one that you've seen, Sydney. It's the Strange Visitor from Another Planet. That was the one with the white Martian in it.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed the dynamic that was developing between Kara, Alex, and John Jones. So Martian Manhunter, he's sort of like a father figure to them, but not in a overprotective kind of way or a do what I say kind of way. It's more of a, they revealed more of a genuine respect and a genuine kind of balance. A little bit more John Jones, I think, coming out.
To be honest, when they found the, wait, what was she like? What was the girl that was like trapped?
Oh, the politician lady?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When she was trapped and they thought they found her, but it was really just the white Martian.
Spoiler.
Well, that's 2 weeks ago. We're good.
And then like her face turned all green and slimy and sharp teethy. I was like, I turned away and I was like, ew, gross. Nope.
So I think the best analog for the John Jones relationship that I'm seeing with those two is kind of like the guy from Buffy.
Giles.
Yeah, Giles.
Yeah.
It's that father figure, respecty teacher kind of role where he's protector and instructor at the same time.
Yeah, because like
I think
he was teaching.
You're talking about.
Yeah, the guy from Buffy that sings.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I know him.
Yeah, there's a scene, I think, in one of these episodes where he was teaching her to fly or teaching her how to fly
exactly.
Better or something like that. Yeah, yep. it was interesting. I really like, too, that it looks like they've switched from treating him always as a CG character when he turns into the Martian Manhunter. There was a moment where he was on the ground, and I'm pretty sure it was a guy, whether or not it was the same actor that plays Henshaw, I don't know, but it was a guy in makeup, and it really kind of solidified how real the character was feeling.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of seamless switching. So I didn't feel taken out of it by the giant cartoon Martian. Like it's hard with TV special effects to just kind of really lose yourself in it.
My least favorite episode was Childish Things.
I agree.
What was it called?
Yep, you're right.
I didn't like that one at all.
No, it wasn't my favorite either. And I wasn't a huge fan of the latest episode either. Probably for the same reasons that your dad doesn't like it.
What do you call it? I pointed out, my dad was watching this some TV show, I don't know what it was, and I pointed out this guy that looked exactly like Wynn, and I was like, is that the same guy that plays Wynn? And he looked it up and he said, good eye.
So the guy that plays her, the guy that has a crush on her, that always wears the sweaters and the computer guy, is it Quinn?
Wynn.
I think it's Wynn, yeah.
Anyway, he was a moody, drug-addicted songwriter in the TV show Smash.
Okay.
And I really disliked him in Smash because I binged-watched that in between watching Supergirl. And I got to a point where I don't like him anymore because I see him as the drug-addicted songwriter with an attitude problem.
Okay. So, and I have the same problem with Cat Grant's son.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's he from?
He's from Glee.
Oh.
So is Supergirl, for that matter. I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show before. Maybe with Lou. I don't think I've talked to you about it. But
Melissa Benoist, you're right. She was on Glee.
Yeah, she was on Glee. And the thing is, like, she plays such a different character that I didn't really know, and it doesn't really stick with me because I've seen a lot of Glee, guilty pleasure, I guess. But the guy, and I don't remember his name, unfortunately, that plays her love interest in this last episode, he also plays her love interest in Glee. And he's really not that different. Yeah. He doesn't even look any older, which I guess is good. I don't know. I felt like I was watching an episode of Glee for part of Bizarro this last episode.
Was there singing?
There was no singing.
Okay.
I will draw the line. I am actually, there was a moment in my head where I thought that they might go to a karaoke bar for their first date. And I thought, oh God, don't do this to me. Like, don't do the Glee reunion on camera. Because here's a little behind the scenes clip, and I could be wrong, but I'm 99% sure that they're married in real life. I think that's her husband.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I was doing, when we first started talking about Supergirl on the show, I did a little Wikipedia on some of the actors, and Melissa Benoist has married one of her Glee co-stars, and I'm pretty sure that's him.
Okay, well, it explains why their chemistry is what it is.
Well, yes, and I'm not saying that it was a bad acting. I mean, the show's always got good acting in it. With the exception of maybe Cat Grant, but everybody else seems to be spot on. I'm not a fan of. It was a love triangle, and now it's kind of a quadrangle.
Yeah, they have to wrap up some of that. That's some of the things that drive me nuts. Here's the thing: is the show is starting to get a little bit heavy-handed with its, like, the political messages from the alien one with the white Martian. Let's just build a dome around our country. Come on. You may as well just have Trump say you're going to build a wall. I mean, let's back off a little bit of the political heavy-handedness. It's a kid's show for the most part.
Yeah, and they've been doing, they did some really interesting stuff with the way that people feel and appearances and things. There was a speech by James Olsen, when he was kidnapped by Bizarro in this last one, about why he likes Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because she's pretty. It's because she's kind and she's always saving people and all this kind of really reinforcing some more kind of grounded reasons for liking someone.
I'm just tired of, I guess, shows that are supposed to be fun trying to do things they might not be as good at doing, or maybe not even be in the place to do.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
and the
I
fact
agree.
That you're quote unquote dealing with aliens all the time, come on. We get what you're trying to say. Pull the sledgehammer away and try to be more subtle about it. Let me figure that out. Don't tell me that I have to figure it out.
Yeah, no, I agree. Do you find that it's a little heavy-handed on that side, Sydney, or are you okay with it?
Well, once my dad explained it, I thought it was not really that. I didn't really care at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we went to, was it La Luna?
Yeah, dinner.
La Luna, what?
No, he doesn't know where that is. Keep going.
Whatever. It's a restaurant place. Whatever. Mexican food. My mom and my dad were talking, and then I thought that it was kind of that it didn't really, they didn't really need to add that part in the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Some parts of it I get. Like,
I think she just should have said, let's kill them or something like that. Well, not like,
yeah, let's not be so on the nose. I mean, you can be anti quote unquote alien, but don't be so on the nose that all the parents in the audience that are watching TV with their kids go, come on.
Right.
Which is exactly what I did.
Yeah. Well, you know, it reminds you of your Facebook feed.
Yes, exactly.
She could have said, like, let's just try to keep them out or something.
Yeah, let's send them back to their own planet. We don't need, you know, our planet's full, that kind of thing. You don't need to go quite as on the nose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I actually didn't pick up on that. I mean, maybe because I'm Canadian and I'm not following very closely some of the details of... what is it officially the election yet? You guys have been talking about it for 2 years so far.
They're in the caucuses. Right. November is the end of the tunnel.
So November is electing a new president?
Yes.
Okay.
So the joke that went around this last week on Groundhog's Day was that Ted Cruz popped his head out and there'll be 10 more months of campaigning.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
But my other thing is it's just starting to get kind of... Do you remember second season of Buffy where they had that real angsty season with Angel and all that on again, off again?
I do not, because I bailed after the first season of Buffy. I was not
a fan. Anyway, the second season of Buffy is really angsty and just on again, off again relationships and will they, won't they, blah, blah, blah stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in Smallville too.
And this is really starting to slide in that direction. And I know it's not aimed at me because that does nothing for me except frustrate me.
Yeah. Now, do you think it might be the mid-season lull? Because even as great as Flash is, it still suffers from a couple of episodes in the middle, usually around now, that are a little bit on the slow side. And I'm wondering if that might be it. Although I have to say, like, even though there's been a couple of episodes like that with Supergirl, I feel like they're flip-flopping. Like, I mean, Childish Things, like you said, Sydney, not a very good episode. Strange Visitor from Another Planet, amazing episode. And then Bizarro, you haven't seen it yet, but it's kind of got... It's got a lot of action in it, I'll give you that. But at the same time, it's missing... like, or it's got all these love triangle stuff in there again. So, like, it's really half Super and then half Dawson's Creek.
Is her S backwards, and does she talk in reverse sentences?
She doesn't talk in reverse sentences, but she talks in broken English. And it
kind of like Home?
Yes, it's brutal. Brutal. I don't understand. Like, they spend so much time not mentioning Superman, but they're literally dropping in Superman villains. Like, Bizarro, Superman villain. Toyman, Superman villain. Like, and Bizarro, I mean, I'm a little bit biased because he is my least favorite Superman hero. And yes, I might even like him less than Mixel-Pitlick. Like,
it's, oh gosh.
It's not something that I really enjoy. So,
and that's the thing though that Superman's always been plagued with is his rogue gallery is only got a few people in there worthwhile. And then they drop off into these just bad, well, frankly, bad cartoon versions of bad guys.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Maxwell Lord is shaping up to be formidable, right? So yeah, we know that he knows Supergirl's identity because he put a camera in her purse or whatever. I think it was a purse.
End of the episode we watched.
The last few seconds? The little cliffhanger?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. He put it in her sister's purse.
Yes, Agent Danvers. Yeah, yeah. Alex. That's why I was confused. I was like, Supergirl doesn't carry a purse. What am I talking about? No, yeah. So
she carries a clutch. It's practical.
Yeah. She flies around. She does these amazing things in this superhero outfit. I'm not sure where she keeps her cell phone because she seems to have it on her a lot, but I'm not sure where the pockets are. Yeah.
It's in a boot.
Oh, it's in a boot. I never thought about that. I'm not a girl, so I wouldn't know.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't... Wow. I didn't mean it that way. I did not mean it that way. But it's like, I wouldn't have thought of putting a cell phone in a boot. Of course, that makes total sense. Anyway, I think that the direction they were taking Lord before the whole Bizarro thing was really terrifying. Like, the mystery that they're trying to solve, and I won't ruin the episode for you guys, but there's a bunch of women that have been in accidents that are in comas in the hospital, and they're going missing. Like, It's evil. Like, it's terrifying.
We haven't watched that one yet.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
no,
like
Sydney's looking at me like, have we missed that?
Like, no. Like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, this is just how that this new episode, that's how it kicks off. Like, that's the mystery that you're gonna have to solve as to what's happening to these girls. And it's like that's creepy. Like, that's villainous. Like, that's awesome. And then it goes in a different direction. And so, like, they had me at the beginning of the episode, but they quickly lost me. So I don't know. I'm still on board. Like, I still love Supergirl. And Sydney, do you watch The Flash at all?
Nope.
Well, you might get a little bit of the Flash in Supergirl coming up at the end of March. There's been a confirmed crossover coming. So the Flash from Central City is going to meet Supergirl on Supergirl.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, well, the Arrow can't be there because the sun shines in Supergirl too.
yeah. That's although arguably that would probably be the best season of Arrow or best episode of Arrow all season if he showed up on Supergirl or vice versa.
I'm struggling. I am so struggling to watch Arrow now.
Yeah, it's rough. It's really hard. With such fun shows like Flash and Supergirl, Arrow becomes difficult to watch. But it's the same thing.
Speaking of shows that aren't fun, I still can't get Jessica Jones done. I can't do it.
Really?
I cannot bring myself to put it back on.
It's grim. It's not an upbeat show. Like, I mean, judging from all the things that I know that you watch, it's definitely a contrast.
I started watching the Transporter TV show on Netflix to avoid Jessica Jones, which, by the way, that's great.
Is it really?
Yeah, I really enjoy it.
So the Transporter show, is that a...
It was a TV show that was on. It's got two seasons. I don't know where the second season is. I think it might be TNT, but the first one I think was HBO.
So it's not in Canada. That's the thing.
Because there's swearing and naked people in it, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's better than the new Transporter movie was. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean the first movie was good.
Yeah, the first and second one are really good. Third one's okay. The rebooted one that just came out, not good.
Oh, really?
Skip it. All that did was make me miss Jason Statham.
I might have watched the second one. I own the first one, but I think I might have only seen the second one once. I'm not big on sequels unless they're really good, like Age of Ultron.
Aliens.
Yeah, like there's a handful of Back to the Future. There's a lot of them that are pretty good, but like I'm not always gung-ho on. Especially when it comes to like, that's the obvious one. We don't even have to mention that, Hammond. Come on. I was going to try to get through this whole episode without Star Wars being mentioned.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's all right. It was a test.
That was your goal.
I don't think anybody in podcasting can do it right now. Seriously. I don't think it's possible.
I recently have seen the three that first came out. And then saw the seventh one. My dad said he won't watch the first one with me, but my mom will.
I told her she won't have to watch the first one, episode one, unless she's grounded.
Oh, wow. It's not that bad, Sydney. It's not our favorite, but you might like it.
I actually told her that I wouldn't make her watch it unless we caught her in church doing drugs playing with matches.
I'm sorry. Like, I don't even know Sydney that well, and I'm just picturing her in the back of a pew, just trying to spark something up. Right? And it's like, wow, the picture that you paint. Jeez. So, what did you think of your first time through the Star Wars trilogy, Sydney?
My favorite character is Darth Vader, definitely.
Nice. She's on the right side of the track, Hammond. You've raised her well.
She also likes Weird Al Yankovic, so it's a double win for me.
I'm sorry. I pictured Darth Vader with all these curly dreadlocks coming out from underneath the helmet. God. So is that, what else have you been watching, man? Anything worth noting?
Well, we went to see The Good Dinosaur.
Oh, cool. I haven't really been paying attention. Like, how was that?
So let me tell you about what my opinion of The Good Dinosaur.
I love that Sydney is cackling to kill herself right now.
So here's the thing. Good Dinosaur is gorgeous. It is absolutely gorgeous. There are moments where I think they're using honest to goodness, like live plates, and then sticking animated things in them. It is absolutely stunning the way this movie looks. But it is in one side, it's kind of a brutal film. That dinosaur gets his butt handed to him for the first 25 minutes of the movie.
Wow. I mean,
he just gets brutalized by nature.
My sister started crying at the end.
Yeah.
Wow.
And in the middle and lots of places. There's lots of reasons for her to cry.
Wow.
But then halfway through, they go on this weird, they eat some fermented fruit and they go on basically like a SpongeBob SquarePants acid trip midway through the film.
What?
And it's the most bizarre transition ever. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen in a film. They go from this, it really does look like something out of SpongeBob. It's crazy. But I don't know. I walked out. Oh, and then they had
Bug Harmonica.
The Bug Harmonica being played by a Tyrannosaurus Rex sitting next to a campfire that sounds like a cowboy. It's played by the guy who plays, who's in Tombstone, and he was in Roadhouse as the old bouncer.
Hmm.
He's a great actor. I can't think of his name. He's got the mustache and the white hair.
Sam Elliott?
That's the one.
Yeah.
He
plays Betty's father in one of the Hulk movies.
Yes, yes. The image of a Tyrannosaurus Rex sitting on a rock playing a bug harmonica in front of a campfire was odd to me.
Yeah. I've heard mixed things about the movie.
And then around that time, he says, "Do you want my bug harmonica?" And then he said,
"Do you want my bug harmonica?" He says, "No, no, I'm fine." And he eats it.
Yeah. He eats it.
Gross. There's weird dichotomies. Like there at one point.
There's some pterodactyls, and they help this like creature that was injured out, and then it was like sitting, and he's like, "Oh, how cute," and stuff. And then all of a sudden, he eats it.
Yeah, he just crams it down his gullet. It's just these weird, surprising turns that seem a little bit abrupt for a kid's movie.
Yeah, it feels like Muppet humor.
It does. It totally does.
Yeah, like the big Muppet sitting next to the little Muppet, and they kind of inch closer and closer. And then at the end of the song, the big Muppet just eats the little Muppet for no apparent reason. Like that's exactly
what it is. So.
Huh. Interesting. I wasn't a fan of the dinosaur design.
Gorgeous. It is absolutely gorgeous, though. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Does the dinosaur look funny being so cartoony up against the backgrounds?
Sometimes it does. It reminds me of the dinosaur that used to be the logo for the Sinclair gas station.
Yeah, I'm not familiar, but yeah, I can see how it looks so simple that it could be like a logo. Like it's I don't know. It's an odd art direction, and I'm not poo-pooing it because of course I've not seen the movie, and I mean I didn't think I was going to like Inside Out, and it's easily one of my favorite Pixar movies in the last 10 years. Like, so you know I have to. I always have to definitely give Pixar the benefit of the doubt. Or is this Disney?
I think this one's Disney, and also how would you describe the oldest Tyrannosaurus?
The Tyrannosaurus Rex?
Yeah, the oldest one, like the dad or whatever he is. My favorite thing that he says is, "If you ain't scared of a croc bite, you ain't alive."
True.
Oh, okay.
That's good things to live by.
And that's the Sam Elliott one.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it sounds like a Sam Elliott quote.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they got a family of Tyrannosaurus Rex. There's like a cave kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's acting like a dog the whole movie?
Pretty much. You got that right.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I'm
Spot. Come here.
Yeah. He calls him Spot, by the way.
Okay. How original.
Yes. Hey, by the way, since we brought up Star Wars, I need to ask you something. Did you catch the Star Trek drop in the Star Wars movie?
The Star Trek? No.
So when they talk about the power generator, do you remember what section it's in? What sector it's in?
Yeah.
Is it 10? Do they say 10 forward?
No, it's in 47, which is the Star Trek go-to number.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I was expecting it to be like a piece of...
No, it was a very distinct line, and as soon as I heard it, I'm like, "Hey, look, Star Trek joke."
Oh, wow.
Which totally makes sense. Trek nerd. Yeah, you'd think I'd do a show with him or something.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was looking, because I have seen it twice? Yeah, twice. And the second time I was looking for little Easter eggs and stuff, but I don't know, part of me doesn't want to dissect the movie to that level.
Not yet.
Yeah. I mean, I got a lot of the other jokes, a lot of the referencing numbers and stuff to other...
Yeah.
Other...
I recently saw a movie with my mom, and then my dad's trying to get me to see Warcraft with him when it comes out.
Oh, yeah. So, well, you might enjoy the Warcraft movie because you're playing Hearthstone.
You'll know some of the characters already.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, before we get into our picks this week, I wanted to see if anybody has any good books on the go.
I do.
What are you reading?
I am reading the ghost based on the movie.
The movie's based on the book.
Well, yeah, whatever. The Amazing Mr. Blunden.
Cool. So what's The Amazing Mr. Blunden about? Like, what's a kind of a synopsis of the story so far?
Do you want me to do it so you don't spoil anything?
Yeah, because I can't really explain it.
Okay, so this guy comes to this lady's house, and she has three kids, okay. And says, hey, ma'am, I know things are hard for you. Your husband was killed in the war, and there's this caretaker job that's opened up on this property, but be warned, it's haunted. And so she takes the job because they're, you know, they need the money and stuff like that. And then when they get up there, the older kids start having these experiences that involve, well, it's in the title, ghosts. And it's really good. And it was a kids movie that came out in the early 70s. And I loved the movie. And when I showed it to Sydney, she really liked it. Well, I found the book. So she's starting to read the book, and I'm going to read it when we're on the plane to Hawaii.
All right, on. I've never read the book. We almost got into some required reading talk last time with Brockett, but I find that there's a huge difference between U.S. and Canadian, I guess, curriculum.
Yeah.
When it comes to like required reading.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of these that I've just never heard of, but it sounds like an interesting book.
The ghost is actually the whole thing's British. And Sydney's reading this because I found it. It's not something she's reading for school. Well, she might be getting credit for it in school, but
yeah, I am.
This is something she's reading kind of on her own.
Oh, great. It's really cool.
Last time I was on the show, I was at like 10, 12 books.
With the 40 book challenge?
With the 40 book challenge, and now I'm past 40.
Past 40?
I've read like 41 on my way to 42.
Wow.
I might get my 42nd book tomorrow.
That's fantastic. Take a wild guess how many books that I read in 2015.
Why are you saying 10?
I'm just guessing.
My dad guessed 10. I guessed 3.
You're a lot closer than your dad. I only read 1.
It was at War Crimes, right?
Yeah, War Crimes. It was a Warcraft book, actually. Yeah.
My favorite book that I read was I Am Malala.
Oh, yeah? Which one was that about?
A girl named Malala who was shot on the left side of her face.
Wow. That is...
Didn't she win the Nobel Peace Prize?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's won the Nobel Peace Prize for her work.
Holy smoke. That is that's an intense pitch for a book.
Yeah.
And she wrote it by herself, too.
Jeez.
I found out about her when she was on The Daily Show with... what's his face? That's no longer there.
Oh,
John Stewart.
Stewart, yeah.
Yeah. And she's this dynamic. I think she's probably maybe 18 now, maybe a little older.
I'd say 17. Mom said she was 17.
Oh, right now?
Yeah, like 17.
Yeah, she's still super young, but she's already
fighting. She was shot when she was 15.
She's battling for human rights all over the world. She's won the Nobel Peace Prize. She's published this book. I mean, she's doing all these really amazing things, and it's kind of an inspiration.
Yeah. I feel rather lazy right now. Jeez. Right on. Well, I guess we can start to wrap things up and move on into the internet minute. Sydney, are you going to stick around for this?
No.
I
got to go take care of my sister.
Right on. Well, good luck taking care of your sister. Hopefully she'll listen when you tell her to do things like sit and fetch and play dead.
Like spot?
Yes. There you go. Just practice. Don't tell your mother I said to do that, though. Just tell her that your dad told you to do that. Well, it's been really, really fun to have you on the show again, Sydney. Thanks so much for coming back.
Thanks for having me on.
No, always a pleasure, and always a pleasure to talk Supergirl with you. Where can people go to find out a little bit more about your podcast if they happen to be a parent of a tween or happen to be a tween themselves?
You want me to tell them?
Yeah, I can't really.
She's at tweencast on Twitter.
Okay.
And she's got the email address is the betweenuspodcast@gmail.com.
That's the only one I know. And the...
And people can just search for Between Us
on iTunes.
Three words, uh-huh. Right?
Yep, that's right.
So on iTunes. That's a great way to find it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's now a member of Wolf King Studios, too, the podcast network.
Wow. Moving up in the world.
Yep.
Well, thanks again for coming on the show, Sydney, and hopefully we will have you on maybe later on in the season when some cool stuff happens on Supergirl.
Alrighty, that sounds like a plan.
All right, see you later.
Bye.
Oh, always a pleasure to have her on the show, my friend.
Yep. Yeah, she's fun.
Oh, gosh. Well, we should kind of get into the internet minute here. And of course, this is brought to you by Tweaked Audio. You can visit tweakedaudio.com for high performance noise reducing earbuds. Visit, I think it's the code TCC. You don't want to visit the code, but you want to enter the code TCC at checkout when you're shopping. You'll get 30% off your entire order and free shipping. So tweakedaudio.com and the code is TCC. I have a unique pick this week. If you think that a Flash Supergirl crossover is a nerdgasm, you should check out the Marvel and DC versus Star Wars epic fan trailer from Alex Luthor on YouTube. I cannot take credit for finding this. This is a LuPage pick in the Slack chat room, just a sample of the kind of nerdy goodness that happens in the Citadel Cafe Slack. And it is just, it's a trailer from all kinds of media. There's fanfic, there's fan films, there's real trailers, there's video game footage. All this stuff is cut together to basically showcase Marvel and DC together teaming up against basically the Sith and Star Wars. It's ridiculously good. I don't normally go for this kind of thing because I find it campy and dumb. But it is really well edited, and if nothing else, you walk away from it thinking, like, that was a major, major effort and a lot of work by Alex Luthor to get this done. Like, it's so cool.
I'll have to watch it after the show.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. There's so much that happens in the 2 minutes or 3 minutes of this trailer. Like, you can't. It's to make it work, you have to have all these fast cuts from, like, you know, 60 different films and franchises. But it really does flow quite well. And if you ever wondered what it would be like to see Superman go up against Darth Vader or Batman get together with Green Lantern to, you know, get Iron Man. And, like, it's just, it's over the top. And he does a lot of these. So if you can look at Alex Luthor on YouTube and you can kind of grab the trailer that you know, tweaks your fancy. But the Marvel and DC versus Star Wars one is the one that I've got linked here, and we'll have a link to it in the show notes and stuff. It's really, really fun. It's worth the few minutes that of watching the trailer just to kind of say, like, hey, it's not real. There's nothing like this coming, thank God. But, like, it's just a lot of fun.
That's cool. I'll have to watch it when I'm done.
Yeah. What's your pick this week, man?
So I had two, and they're both relatively quick.
It's all good. Yeah.
The first one is Dream Theater's new album came out this week. And there is a guy who's already done a one-man a cappella, like multi-frame mix of it. It's called The Gift of Music a cappella. And it's really, really good because he covers all the facets of the complicated music that is Dream Theater. And I listened to it twice today, and I absolutely enjoyed it. So go listen to that, then go buy the new Dream Theater album. It's two solid hours of, like, dramatic, almost film score level progressive metal goodness.
Cool. I will take a look at that.
And then the other one goes back to my interview with Amir Noon and Craig Stewart Garfinkel. They had me, when I was doing research, I found this piece of music they did, and it's called Malak, Angel Messenger. And it's from, I think it was Games Live last year, where they announced the Legion expansion. And it's this multimedia extravaganza where she's conducting an orchestra, but they have instruments that were pre-recorded in. And so it's like fans basically sent in their tapes of them playing the music, and she's conducting them too.
Wow, cool.
It's this amazing technological thing. And it's great music. I mean, it's what you expect from Blizzard and the music they create. So it's really, really good.
Absolutely. No, I'm a huge fan of the Draenor soundtrack, actually. I listen to it a lot of times just commuting around the city on the bus, and I find it's got a lot of peaks and valleys, and just it really... I like all of the Blizzard music, but for some reason Draenor really kind of struck a chord with me. Pardon the pun.
Then you'll really, really enjoy this episode that sprung out yesterday or today.
Yeah, no, and now that I know who they are, because I just noticed it on my podcatcher today, and I was like, I don't know who they are. Good thing I'm talking to him, and tonight I'm just going to ask him. I could research this online. This could be very easy, or I could just wait 10 minutes and see what's up with Hammond. I want to give a shout out to Craig Lang, who popped into the chat earlier today. He's got an album coming out soon. I know I mentioned it before, but what was funny about tonight is that I started the podcast and all of a sudden my phone is buzzing in my pocket. And I'm like, God, so who's trying to get a hold of me? And there's one text from Craig, who is a composer. And all it says is, Emir Noon. So I've got a funny feeling that Craig is going to be listening to the latest episode of Beyond the Playlist. I think he might be a fan. So yeah, and he did pop into the show chat here. I gave him a link to the chat room, but he texted me. It was like, I was like, okay, well, Craig's listening to the show.
That's really funny.
Oh man, I was trying not to laugh because I think Sydney was in the middle of saying something, and I didn't want her to think that I was chuckling at her. Oh gosh. Yeah, I love music picks. Something else that I can recommend very quickly is the soundtrack to the latest Bond movie, Spectre.
Oh really?
Yeah, I haven't listened to the whole soundtrack yet, but it was one of those movies where I literally stopped the movie and went to go get the soundtrack.
Oh, wow.
Because mental note, I was like, oh gosh, I'm going to, you know, I'm not sure if it's something that you want to like kick back in your chair and listen to, but it's definitely something that's going on my running mix.
Like okay,
my,
cool.
Yeah, my MP3 player when I run, because I think it's one of those like, you know, run around the corner, people chasing you, doing cool stuff.
Do you run with a Zune? Is that what you call it, an MP3 player?
No, it's a iPod. It's a
okay. Little... I figured since you called it an MP3 player, it was either a Zune or one of those digital Sony Walkmans.
No. It's from gosh, what's it from? It's not even like it's a shuffle. It's a teeny tiny okay. little clip.
I know. I'm just giving you crap because of the way you phrased it.
Oh, I see. You're calling me an old man. Jeez. On that note, I'm going to wrap up this episode of the Citadel Cafe. You can record with us live if you so choose on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern at thecitadelcafe.com. Our mobile audio stream is provided by alphageekradio.com, and the music for the show was composed by Kevin McLeod, also purveyor of very cool music. And he has his own Patreon, so if you like his stuff and you want to support him, then look him up on Patreon. Email the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. or find us by name on Twitter and Facebook. The iTunes store is a great place to leave a 5-star review if you really like the show. It will help new listeners find us, and when they're looking for things like sci-fi fantasy podcasts, things about television shows they like. So please leave us a review on iTunes. And if you want to go even one step further, you can go to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe and support the show. Value for value model, if you get a little bit out of the show, maybe contribute a little bit back into it. All of this goes right back into the quality of the show, helping me kind of keep the website up to date, that kind of stuff. So patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. And I would like to give a shout out to Yust Yufing for his support. You can also get into the Slack by being a patron. And I think that Sam and the rest of the people in the Slack chat will be very welcoming when you arrive. So patreon.com/thecitadelcafe.
Yeah, there's very little hazing that happens in the Slack. But once you're through that, and the duct tape comes off, you're fine.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of moonshine up your nose, it's all good. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything I am up to online, including my illustration and design portfolio, at joelduggan.com. Where can people find you online, Hammond?
At jhammondc.com, which was actually just retooled by one Mr. Ryan Murphy.
Ooh, very cool.
And also at jhammondc on Twitter. And you can find my show, Beyond the Playlist with jhammondc, on iTunes.
You have been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.
He tried to get me to play Heroes.
Yeah, I'm trying to get you to play Heroes. I'm trying to get me to play Heroes.
This podcast recorded before a live internet audience. To learn how to listen and watch live, visit tunein.alphageekradio.com.